The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Chulin. Masechet Chulin has been dedicated by our good friend, Mr. Joey Jamal, and his wife, in honor of their son's Jack engagement to Shirley Sutton. Bazat Hashem, she get married, b'sha'at tova u'muslachat, and zechut of the limud that we are going to have for the next several months in Masechet Chulin. They should enjoy a lot of nachat, shalom bayit, peace, prosperity, and all the berachot. Amen. Daf Sunday. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Rabbi Moshe ben Nuna, Ruach Hashem, Tanichem, Began, Oedin, Amen.
Alma, Isur, Mukdashim, Kadim. You see over here that the Isur of Ekdesh must come first before the Isur of Gid, Hanasheh. Why? Because this case over here, it does not have any Gidim, this Nefil over here. This Nefil, there was no Gidim yet. The Gidim did not form. And still you're telling me what? It's considered a being. Enough to exude Tum'ah. Even though the Gidim did not come yet. So you see, it can become a being even before it has Gidim. We're talking about a Nefil. This Nefil over here is a human Nefil, of course. We say exudes Tum'ah. Well, what's the Hadush? Even though there's no Kezayit yet, it's considered a viable body, even though the Gidim were not yet formed yet. So what do you see over here? The Gidim are not formed in the beginning. Therefore, the animal could become Hikdesh first. So I'll see you back to the question then. So Isur, Halal Isur. Once it becomes Hikdesh, and you tell me Yesh Begidim Benotin Tam, it's too late. It became Hikdesh. You should not be over on the Hikdesh. Look at the top of Rashi. Alma, Isur, Mukdashim, Kadim. The Mishah Shenotzar Hu, Kadosh, Ba'adayin, Lo Notzar Agid.
You see clearly that the creation of the Ubar precedes the actual formation of the Gidim.
So Gemara says, Afalgav, the Isur Mukdashim Kadim, Ate Isur Gid, Hayr Alayhu, Sheken Isuro Noheg, Bibne Noah.
Amazing. You're right. The Isur of Hekdesh comes first, and the Isur Gid comes later. And you're right. Normally we don't say Isur Hara Isur. But on such a stringent law of the Gid and Asher that applies even with Bnei Noah, even to the Bnei Noah it applies. So then it's going to say that what? Ye Isur Hara Isur. Look at Ashi. Gid, Omeshanin, and I forgot the Isur Hashim. Why did Isur Hamur? Why did Isur Hamur? Shinuhi Bnei Noah. Like it says in the Mishnah later on, "V'halo l'ben Noach ne'esar gid anashe." It was before the Torah even. When Yaakov Avinu got hit, it says from then some law, and we'll see exactly proof that the Gemara is going to bring later on that Bnei Noach on this restriction. So you're right, Hadush. Even though normally Isur is not halal Isur, and really the animal is formed without Gidim, and therefore really the animal is Ekdesh first, and the Gidim come after. Doesn't matter. We're going to say Isur Halal Isur in the case of Isur Hamur like Gid Anasheh. So Gemara says, Man Shamat Lehai Sevara. Who's the opinion that holds that Gid Anasheh applies to Ben Noah? Rabbi Yehuda. The Amat Nitin like Rabbi Yehuda. But we know that our Mishnah is not going to be Yehuda. Diktani, no, hey, remember, Chaya b'yerech shel yaminu b'yerech shel simon. And we know the Yehuda says it only applies to the right side. So we know our Mishnah is not going to be Yehuda. You want to establish the case of Mukdashim, that what? Isur halal isur, like the Yehuda. I'm sorry, yeah, that what? That holds that the Isur of Gid Anasheh applies to Ben Noach, but our Mishnah cannot be going to be Yehuda. Because clearly the Yehuda says that the Gid Anasheh only applies to the right side, not the left side. Abishai says right, left. So you can't explain the Mishnah according to the Yehuda when the Mishnah clearly is not going in the Shita of the Yehuda. Here's a good answer. The Hekdesh came first, the Gid Anasheh came second. Isur Halal Isur, no problem. Ben Noah. Since it applies to Ben Noah, you say it. Hadush. Who says that opinion? That's the Yehuda. So you want to stick the Yehuda to the Mishnah, but you're not going like the Yehuda. Because Amishnah says bend the right side, bend the left side. Maybe that only goes on the right side. Kibara says, Hi, Tana, our Tana of the Mishnah, Savala, Kibadeh Bahada, Padigada Bahada. What's the problem? Our Tana is not Rabbi Yehuda, but our Tana accepted Rabbi Yehuda's opinion on one topic, on the Ben Noah issue. Therefore, he can explain Muktashim like that. When it came to the right-left issue, he didn't take Rabbi Yehuda. It means the Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda. It's a separate Tana. It's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he could take Rabbi Yehuda in this case. He'll take it in that case. No problem. Ema de Shemat de Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says like this. When did Rabbi Yehuda maybe say his deen that we're going to say Isur Halal Isur because it's Isur Hamur Betime'ah? That's only talking about maybe in a case where the Behema is, let's say, Teme'ah. The Isur Lav Kadashim, the Isur Karet. I'm sorry, the Isur Lav Kadashim, the Isur Karet. Mi Shama'at Le Lashim. She says, "Man shamat de, v'hai tana de matnitim we saw. Savada kevado begal v'hada imur de shamat de Rabbi Yehuda. Te'amad de mishum chumre de gid de noheg b'nei Noach. Lo chayel me isur acharina b'temea shamat le de ati isur gid. I'll tell you that the isur of gid anashe the chayel isur temea. That even though let's say the tumah came first." Because the animal was formed, let's say it was formed the tumah, and then the gid comes after. So in the case of that, we'll say that there's two isurim. The alfagad isur tumah, the me'imah, even though let's say the tumah became already from the womb, the isur gid enu ad shiulad yivaled, and the gid does not come until later on. The har of Yehuda enu heg b'shlil ka'amad. Exactly. According to the Yehuda, gid and hashid doesn't apply by a shlil. For a gid to be asur has to be born. So could be maybe by tumah. The animal was formed inside. So then yan tumah, maybe the animal, if the mother is tameh, maybe the animal is tameh as well. And then once it's born, the gid and asheh comes out. And the hadush is, I'm going to say, isur halal isur, and no problem. Because the isur of being metameh, let's say a person becoming tameh is only a lav. A kohen becoming tameh is only a lav. So then we'll say isur halal isur. However, the isur gid hamur, and isur gid is so strict. So you know what? When you have a strict isur gid against the lav, I'll say, you know what? The gid goes on it also. However, kadashim diika isur karet. But when it comes to kadashim, which is the case of our Mishnah, kadashim can bring you to karet. If a person, let's say, eats a pigul, or a person eats the kadashim betumah, it's karet. Maybe I'll tell you that we don't say isur halal isur. Maybe you can only tack on gid and ashe when you have a lav there. Okay, stick it on. When you have isur karet, or potential karet, there's no room for the isur lav. I'm not going to say isur. I don't care how strict gid and ashe is. But you want to tell me, our Mishnah is going like the Biuda, isur halal isur, because it's isur hamur. Maybe it only tacks on to a light isur of tumah, but who told you you could tack it on to a strict isur of kadashim like our case over there? I don't care how strict the dinashe is. It maybe cannot attach itself to isur karet. Like you said, there's no room for the isur dinashe by isur karet. You're right. New explanation of our Mishnah. We accept it, and therefore we're saying like this: elahacha bim bakeret askinan. We're talking about a regular animal of chulin that gave out a bechor, firstborn. Diberechem chadosh. Which means, when does the kedushat bechor go on the animal? Not when it's conceived. The kedushat bechor is not until it is peterechem, until it comes out of the womb. And therefore, according to everybody, the isur kadosh of bechor and the isur of gid anashe comes simultaneously. Because according to the Biyuda, there's no isur gid anashe when it's inside. When does it come out? When it emerges. So therefore now the kedusha of bechor hits, and the kedusha of, or the isur of gid anashe hits over there, and therefore you're coming to tell me that what? The isur of gid anashe comes to that point. Now, im isur gid anashe nuheg be'ubar, if you're going to say according to Tanakama that the isur of gid anashe is already in the ubar, so gid anashe came first, and then the isur of muktashim, and therefore, if you're going to say according to the Biyuda, it's going to come along at the same time. Now, what is that answer? Gid anashe ela hacha ben bakeret askina. The Bechor is not Kadosh until it actually
emerges.
Even though normally, on a regular korban, there's no isur gid,
deha isur mukdashim kadim.
Because normally when the baby's in the stomach, it's kadosh first, and then the gidim only come later, so they're not going to say isur halal isur.
Kedekamat yisirat kubar kodemet.
Because the animal is formed first.
Betuna ate isur gid v'hayim.
And the gid cannot go on it.
Afidu ha'achi, but there's a case. Yesh mukdashim shagid noheg
b'hayim. There's one case that the gid will be noheg by kodesh.
What's that? Kegon bechor.
How?
Miman nafshach.
No matter how you want to look at it. If you want to look at it as what? As it's the gid and the she goes from the womb, the gid came before the bechor. The gid came before is gid. The gid to be gid. If you want to say that the gid doesn't come out till the birth, it happens simultaneously. The kiddushah and the gid came out. So miman nafshach is going to be gid and a she by a case of Bechor. So that's what it meant when it said in the Mishnah, "Venuheg b'mukdashim," that they'll be gid and nashir by a bechor. Why? Either because the gid came first when it was in the womb before the animal was born, or when it came out simultaneously, the gid and the bechor happened. Therefore, the gid is going to be applicable. That is one way to answer the Mishnah. I can give you another answer. That really we're talking about Beladot of Kadashim. It's a regular Korban Shelamim and has a baby inside of it. And our Mishnah is coming to tell you like this. You would have thought that we learned till now that when does an animal that's inside its mother's womb become Kadosh? Immediately. Since the mother's Kadosh, it becomes Kadosh. That's how we thought immediately. And therefore we said that what? That the Gid is at the same time. And kedushas at the same time.
So no, valadot kadashim bahavayatam hem kodashim,
which means they only become kadosh according to this answer when they come out
la'avir ha'olam,
and therefore the isur gid and asher ready came first, which means according to the second answer, it's no isur halal isur. And what? The baby's inside. The mother's a shelamim. The baby's not a kishelamim yet. It's not even kodesh yet. When will the kiddushah come yet? When it emerges. So what comes first? Yidan Asher. So the hadush in the Mishnah, it's noheg b'mukdashim. You know why it's noheg b'mukdashim? Because the Yidan Asher came first. It's not isur halal isur. The Yidan Asher was first. And if you would have thought, mukdashim maybe doesn't apply because it's isur halal isur. No. By mukdashim, since the kiddushah of the baby doesn't come until after it's born, so therefore it does not have kiddushah until later on, if the kiddushah precedes it. Ashi, v'ibayetema,
mevaldot kadashim, v'ashmirin atar adidan, tenokad shim v'ibayiman,
they don't become sanctified in the mother's womb,
e'la behavayatan, b'yitziatan,
when they come at hilkach,
isurgim noheg, bechulam mishum de'iyu kadim,
they came first, denoheg b'shlil,
ve'tulo paka,
right, once the isurgim noheg b'shlil comes on an animal, it doesn't go off. Another way of learning was what? Maybe it becomes kadosh in the womb, and then what? If you say it becomes kadosh in the womb, then we learned earlier that the isur kadosh comes first, and once the isur kedushah comes first, and the gidim are not formed till later, any isur halal isur, you might have said that there's no isur gidin asher on an animal. That's kadosh. Kavash v'alan, you're wrong. That the kedushah of the animal doesn't come till later on, and the chadush is that the gid comes first. Therefore, it's going to be no heg. This answer that our Mishnah,
Agid,
only Agid. Oh, that's Hadush. It's no heg b'kadosh. Because you would have thought it's not no heg b'kadoshim. Because if it's talking about Veladot, what happens? The Kiddushah comes first at the time of the conception, at the time of the formation, before the Gidim even came out. So you would have thought any sur halal isur. Then by the time the Gid gets there, it's no room for it to go. Kamash malam, no, the Gid precedes the Kiddushah, because the Kiddushah doesn't come until it comes out of the womb. There's no isur muktash on the Gid, exactly. Even though you say yesh beginim menoten tam, and you're having hana'ah from Hegdesh, it's too late. Gid is there. The Gid came first, there's no room for the other Isur to have. That's the Hadush of the Mishnah.
Amar b'chiya bar Yosef. Loshanu. This was the question that we just asked. Loshanu ela kadashim anechali.
When we say that you have Isur Gidan Hashem by Korbanot, that's on Korbanot that you're going to eat. Korban Hatat, Korban Asham, Korban Shelamim, Aval Kadashim Shenem Lechalim, for example, in Ola, En Isur Gid Noheg Bahem. There's no Isur Gid Hashem. So where would there be an Isur? There would be what? No one's eating it. So what's the even the Sheila? So maybe he can't put it on the Mizbaya. Maybe Akhilat Gavoa. Maybe he can't put it on the Mizbaya. Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Echad Kadashim Nechalim, Echad Kadashim Shenechalim, Isur Noheg, Isur Gid Noheg Bahem. He said, no. Doesn't matter what type of korban. Gid and asiz asur in every type of korban. Amar papa vela peligi. There's no argument over here. Kan lehalkoto, kan lehaloto. Which means the Yohanan, that he came along and said that there is isur gid and asher lehalkoto. Which means if a guy would eat, let's say, the gid and asher of korban ola for whatever reason like that, he's going to say it's a gid and asher. It's enough of a gid and asher to get the malkut. Doesn't, why? Because the Gid came first. Before the animal became an Ola, how does a Korban become an Ola? You consecrated it as an Ola. The Gid was there already. So the Hadush is, if you ate the Gid and Hashem, and an animal that was consecrated as an Ola, everybody says you're going to get Malkut. The Kan Le'aloto, Rabbi Hayada said there's no Din Gid and Hashem, he just meant to bring it on the Mizbayah. So everybody was saying a different Din. Mutar Le'aloto, Ve'asur Le'ochlo, on the Mizbayah, bring it, there's no problem. You want to eat it? Then you're going to get Malkut. Amre. Some have a different version. Amar Rappapa Vela Pelig Kan Leholtso Vekan Haloto. Which means, some say, everybody says you got to remove it before you put it on the Mizbeach. Which means the Halso, to remove it. And therefore, it's coming to say that what? That there's no Din Isur Gid in the Ola. I'm sorry, that you don't have to remove it. That there's no deen to remove it when you put it on the Mizbeah. That's what everybody was agreeing on. When it said, En deen gidan ashe be'ola, means there's no deen to remove it. However, kan ha'aloto, but let's say you removed it. No, now you removed. Now you want to put it on the Mizbeah. Then it's asur. As long as it's attached, no problem. But once you remove the gidan ashe, then you come along and say, hey, you know something? Anyway, this is a korban ola. We throw on the Mizbayah. No, that's already asur. Which is, as long as you didn't remove it, everybody will say, throw the Ola on the Mizbayah as is. But once you remove the Gida Nasheh, then you cannot put it on the Mizbayah. That's the Inyanim.
What's the punishment of eating Ola?
What's the punishment? There's no punishment of eating Ola. You're eating the Gida Nasheh for Korban Ola.
I was thinking the same question.
We're eating Ola, Mu'el. Mu'el Begdesh. Stealing from Begdesh. Mu'el Begdesh.
So, how did they say
on the
first answer?
The Gid came first. Comes the Gemara and says, "Le'ha'aloto pelige." That what? They're arguing. There is an argument. The first two opinions say, "La pelige." The third opinion says, "Yeah, pelige." Now, what's the argument? Can you bring the Gid on the Mizbayah? You didn't take it out. So, one rabbi is going to say, "Asun, you got to remove the Gid and Hashem from the Korban before you put on the Mizbayah." Because just like you can't eat it, Achilat Mizbayah, all the same thing. And the second rabbi is going to say, what? It's okay. You don't have to de-gid the animal before you put it on the Mizbayah. Now he's going to bring Ra'ayot. Okay, let's see the Ra'ayot. It's a long Ra'ayah. The Tanya. V'ektir ha-kohen et ha-kol ha-mizbeha. What is that talking about? Korban Ola. And the Kohen will bring everything on the Mizbayah. What is everything? Lerabot, ha'atzamot, v'hagidim, v'karnayim, v'telafayim. Oh, the bones, how do you call gidim? Veins, sinews. Okay, karnayim is the horns, telafayim is the hoofs. Everything goes on the Mizbayah. Yachol, afilu, parshu. Are you going to come and tell me that even if, let's say, these parts came apart from the animal? Hudomar. It comes to the pasuk, it says, only the blood and the innards of the ola goes on the mizbeah, and not the other stuff. So Gemara says, I basar v'adam. If that's the case, only basar v'adam, yachol yachlot gidim v'atzamot. So maybe you have to take it off. Take out the other parts. No, Tamud, that we said already, no. The Ya'aleh Basal Gabib is only bring the meat. Tamud, the Mavitel Kohen, it's a kol. So make him up. One Pasuk says a kol. And one Pasuk's mashma only Basar and Dam. How do you square it? Haketzat mechubarim yaalu. Parshu afilu berushos shel mizbeach yirdu. As long as they're attached, they go on. Even, but if they came detached, even if you brought it up to the mizbeach and you didn't put it on, and it was finished, you have to. It doesn't go on. Now, uman tana deshamate da amar parshu yirdu. Who's the opinion that says that when they were poresh from the animal, you take them down from the mizbeach on a bihi? It's following the opinion of Rabbi Rekosh de Tanya. Here we go again. The Braita. והקטיר הכהן את הכל לרבות עצמות וגידים וקרניים וטלפיים ואפילו פרשו ואפילו פרשו תלקמס הזה even if they came apart והמה אני מקיים ועשיתו עותק הבשר באדם oh but the פסוק שמשמע that you only bring בשר and דם so what it says בפוקעין That's talking about that they went on the Mizbeach and then they flew off. They fell off. So in that case over there, that's what it's talking about over here. That only the Dam and the Basar, if they came off the Mizbeach, you have to put them back on the Mizbeach. That's the Hadush of other stuff you put on the Mizbeach. They jumped off the Mizbeach from the fire, leave them off. But our Dam and the Basar, that's the integral part. So Gemara says, HaKetzad, Ikule Basar Atam Mahzir. The pieces of meat. That they weren't yet devoured by the fire on the Mizbeah, you gotta put them back on. They came off the Mizbeah, it's okay, you don't gotta put them back on. That's Tanakama. Now we get to the B. The B Omer, Ketuv Echad Omer, Victir, Akoneta Kol, Riba. Kol, everything, Riba, it's Ribui. Everything has to go on the Mizbeah. The Ketuv Echad Omer, Vasita Odotecha Basar, Vehadam. That's a Mi'et, it minimized. הקצת, how do you square it off? מחוברים, יעלו, פרשו, אפילו שזו זיח, ירדו. It makes a headache that we just mentioned. That the Rebbe Akadosh says, if they're attached, they go on the Mizbeah. If they became detached, they go off the Mizbeah. So now the Gemara says, ורבנן, the rabbis that argue on the Rebbe Akadosh, they say what? That even if it's detached, you put it on the Mizbeah. מחוברים, לא אסתריך רע לרבויה. Which means the rabbis, they don't need a pasuk to tell me when it's attached. To the rabbis, it's pashut that these parts go on the mizbeach. Why is it so pashut? So he says, midi dehavi arusha shel ola. It's no different than the head of the korban ola. That why you have to bring the head on the mizbeach. Because ba'aruchu ben aron akoyim etatim etarosh metapadet. The head goes on. That means the head is burnt when it's part of the ola. So what do I need the pasuk that comes and tells me that atzamot nigdim go on the mizbeach? Why don't you learn like Rabbi? Rabbi comes along and says, the hadush is when you got to put them on the mizbeach when they're attached, detached. No, so he says, well, what about the rabbis? Rabbis don't need a pasuk to come and tell me attached. Attached is not worse than the head. Just like the head goes on the mizbeach, all these other parts go on the mizbeach as well. And what's the hadush of the pasuk? That even when it's detached. It's going to go on the Mizbeah. Ki tzarich kerah. To tell me, did these parts go on the Mizbeah? He did a kol. What does it mean, a kol? Even when it was, lefarshu. Oh, the Rabbi. Now go back to the Rabbi. Mechubarim dehetera. Lo tzarich ra lerebuye. Which means, there are certain parts of the animal that is mutar. Bones are mutar. Hoofs are mutar. Those parts are mutar. They're not isur. So you're right. Parts that are mutar, I could learn from the head. That just like the head goes on the mizbeah, so too all the kosher parts, we'll call them, of the animal, also will go on the mizbeah. However, ki estari kera legid haneshev imchobar. Here's the key. We know I need the pasuk. Mektir hakol. It's coming to teach me the gid haneshev that is attached. To come and tell me that the hadush is one. Don't tell me, the head you're bringing. No, the head is mutar. There's no isur in the head. From the head, you can't learn gida nasheh. Oh, so Bektir HaKol comes and tells me that even when the gida nasheh is attached to the animal, even though I cannot learn it from the head, I learn from Bektir HaKol to come and tell me that indeed, even though it's asur la'achila, and if you cannot compare it to the bones of the head that are mutar ba'achila, because I know bones already from the head. So what do I need Bektir HaKol for? To come and tell me things that are not permissible like bones. What's things that are not permissible like bones? Like the gid and asher. Therefore, I cannot learn gid and asher from the case of the rosh. And if I need the pasuk v'tiri takoen atakol to come along and tell me that what? When it is attached, you bring it on the mizbeah. Oh, but what do you mean? I have another pasuk that says v'asita olotecha abasar v'adam. Special only basar v'adam. Oh, so I have to make a heduk. Basar badam, you always put on the mizbeah, whether it's pirishu or not. But when it comes to gidan asher, davka pirish, lo pirishu, but pirish, you don't put it on the mizbeah. So that's tanaka, that's the b shita. Od pam, we learn from the b now that there's a heduk that when you put the animal on the mizbeah korban olah, I'm talking about, it has a gidan asher in it, no problem. Hakol. What do you need that for, Rabbi? You have atzamot of the head. No, that's mutar. I'm talking about something sur. Oh, but you can't learn from there that if it became detached, that you put it on the mizbeah. You don't. Oh, the rabbanan. What do the rabbis hold? Memashke Yisrael, mina mutar leYisrael, which means they say that what. The rabbis held that what, that even if the gidon asher came detached, you can stick it on the mizbeah. Oh, now, chaura, how do they know that from? So we have a pasuk that talks about in Yehezkel. It talks about over there, mimashke Yisrael, menamutal Yisrael, which means what parts of the animal that goes on the mizbeah. There has to be something that's mutar for Yisrael. And therefore, according to Tanakhama, at least, the gid is not mutar to Yisrael. Therefore, according to Tanakhama, you can never bring the gid and asher on the mizbeah, even when it is attached. So what do you see over here? Look at Rabbi said it's okay. The Rabbanan are going to say no. The Rabbanan, they want to talk about atzamot and other stuff that's mutar. And their hadush was what? Even when it's detached, put it on the mizbeah. Then nafkimina was, if it flew off the mizbeah, you have to put it back on again. That's nafkimina of the Rabbanan. Rabbi said no. Rabbi says the hadush of Hakol is coming to tell me gidan asher. That even when the gidan asher is attached, you stick it on the mizbeah. So what do you see over here? We have a fantastic mahamdin Rabbi and Rabbanan. Gidan asher is attached to a korban olah. Rabbi says, stick it on the mizbeah. Hakol. Rabbanan says, memashkei Yisrael. You only put on the mizbeah what's edible or drinkable to Yisrael. Wasn't right. The pasuk of Makom was not talking about Gidin Hashem. It's not Mashkei Yisrael. What did the Rebbe do with that pasuk in Yehezkel? Midi Dehavi Achelev Vedam. He says, hello, when you put the olah on the mizbeah, aren't you putting blood on the mizbeah? Could you eat blood? Is that Mashkei Yisrael? What about Chelev? Is Chelev Mashkei Yisrael? It's no worse than the blood than the Chelev that you put on the mizbeah. Rabbanan Mitzvatan Bekach Shani. That's different. There, it's clearly a mitzvah. The Torah says basar bedam, but doesn't say anywhere in the Torah put the gid in asher. Which is whenever the firush pasuk that says to put these stuff in the mizbeah, I put it on the mizbeah. No choice. But chayav is basar. So it says chayav bedam, basar bedam. It's part of the meat, but doesn't say gid in asher. Oh, so basically, what do we prove from over here? We do have him after the last opinion, which is Abu Nahman, that said the rabbis are arguing on the gidon asher. It's true. There is a machloket Rabbi and Rabbanan, as we've seen from this braytot, that Rabbanan hold you cannot bring the gidon asher as a korban olah on the mizbeah, even if it's attached. And Rabbi says you can. Holtzo latapuah. Tapuah doesn't mean the apple. Gidon asher shel olah, the gidon asher korban olah. Holtzo, you got to take it off. And you stick it into the area of the ashes. Remember, we said on top of the mizbeah there was like a pile of ashes in the middle of the mizbeah, right? Which means you can't bring it with the rest of the stuff. You can't bring it when it's attached. Ela, what do you do? They bring it up to the mizbeah with the gid separate, and they stick it in the ashes area over there. And then what do? The ashes that was on the mizbeah, they would bring it out to a place over there, and they would get rid of it. Okay. So again, Amar v'una gid rasheh shel olah holtzo min ha-yerech, you take it out of the yerech, u'mashlicho l'tapo l'arimat ha-yifu shem v'sa mizbeah. Me'achar she'asu l'aktir et ha-gid yachad im ha-basar ha-yerech, lefichach, ahare she'yu ma'arim et ha-yerech l'mizbeah, ha-yu motzim m'min et ha-gid, mashchim oto al-arimat ha-efer, u'misham yu motzim oto ha-chutza. And then we take it outside with the effort. Rak lachan mikinu menechim et ha-yerech al-amarach. Then after they took the gid out, they got the effort away, they put the yerech on the mizbeah. Amar Rav Chizda, maredeche. Maze maredeche, the author of the statement. Analyze your words. Mare is the Baal Shemua, deche. It means, understand what you're saying. Why?
מי כתיב על כן לא יאכל המזבח? על כן לא יאכלו בני ישראל כתיב. What are you talking about? Torah says Jews can't eat gidan hashem. Doesn't say the mizbayah. Meaning, mare, the author of that statement, dache, purify your words. Read the pasuk. Pasuk doesn't say what you're saying. Oh, what does Avuna hold? Avuna memashke Yisrael. When I will tell Yisrael, he goes to the pasuk in Yaskel. That what goes on the mizbayah? Memashke Yisrael. Only things that are edible or drinkable to Yisrael. Metive, we have a question against Rav Huna. Against Rav Huna is the opinion that says what? No gid and asher on the mizbeah. Gid and asher shir shelamim. You take it out. Mechabedo la'ama. What do you do? You throw it into the amat hamayim. Guess what? There was a stream of water that went in the azara, and what do they do? They used to take the gid and asher, stick it in the water, and it would draw it outside the azara. It was like a flow. It would take it outside the azara. Ve-shel-ola ma'alehu. Shilamim, get rid of it. Throw it in the water. But when it comes to ola ma'alehu, what do you mean? Ma'ala ma'alehu makhtiro. Smash ma, bring it up to the mizbayah and burn it. What do you mean? Everybody said, don't do it. La ma'alehu. Also, yeah, bring it up to the mizbeah. When you get up to the mizbeah, take it out. Like we said, take it out, stick it in the ashes, and then bring the rest of the stuff in the mizbeah. If you're taking it out anyway, why do you got to bring it up? You take it out when it's downstairs, and then bring it up to the mizbeah already de-geated. Mishum she'ne'emar, hakribehu na lefechatecha. Would you give it to the governor like this? Which is when you serve something to Borei Olam, it has to be in a respectable way. And therefore, the gid and asher is deep in the leg, in the quarters of the animal. So you got to cut up all the basar and chop it up in order to get to the gid and asher. And it's not kavod to bring up the pieces of meat all mutilated already to Hashem. So then when you bring it up to the Mizbaya, you bring it up. If you would give meat to the governor like this, would he eat it? Would he be appeased? No. So you're right. Really, technically, halachically, you should be able to take the ghee downstairs. But we don't want to serve it to Borei Olam in such a way. So the Gemara says, Tanya kerded Rav Huna, ghee dana sheshil shilami mechabedo la'amma veshil ola. Clearly it says that's what you do with it. Tapuah, what is it? Tapuah? A pile of ash. I guess ash is from the korbanot. Where the ashes come from? Haya be'em sam izbeah. Pa'amim haya alav kishlosh me'ot kor. Wow. Sometimes with so much ash on the mizbeah, it got to 300 kor. Each kor is 30 se'ah. That would be the area of 74 meters by 74 meters. Or 74, okay, kiloliters, according to the Chaim Na'eh. So you're telling me that's a big pile. Each kor is 30 se'ah, which would be shlosh me'ot kor. Now he's giving you the whole shi'ud. That's 74 meters, that's a blot. How much is a meter in feet?
Three.
About 3 feet.
About 3, yeah.
So you tell me what?
225
by 225. Bigger than the Mizbeah.
225
is cubed. It's humongous.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Guzma. It's a Guzma. Okay. Never got to that. Cannot get to that shield. It's the Mizbeah. It's bigger than the Mizbeah. There's no place to fit it. It's Guzma. I mean, you're just trying to say that the ashes that got on the Mizbeah reached, you know, high proportions. So the Gemara says, also a story over here. It says, "Hishku et tamid bekos shel zahav." What did they do? The kevis that they brought for the korban tamid, they before they slaughtered it, they used to give it water. Correct. So it says they gave it in the gold.
It says it's possible. It says the ashes heap in the mound. If it was 18 amot, wide. Okay. It would only have to be 2.6 amud high
to get that shiur.
Because it's about cubic, it grows up.
I got
it's
it.
It's like, you know.
You know, you do it in height.
It's 18 by 18 by 2.6. You're going to get
and still it's Guzma.
It's still Guzma.
Still Guzma, yeah. Fine. Next one. They used to give the water to the Qurban Allah before they used to slaughter it. They used to give it in a gold vessel. Amar Avat. Guzma. Well, why would they give it to drink before? It's easier to skin, no? You know, we're going to the Masechet Betzah. The end of Betzah. Gold, you're giving an animal to drink in gold. That sometimes the Torah speaks, shaked doesn't mean
fancy. Hyperbole.
Very good. Sometimes the Torah talks in exaggerated terminology. And sometimes the prophets it also talks in an exaggerated way. So we have three situations. The Torah sometimes exaggerates in this lashon. Sometimes the Nevi'im do it, and sometimes the Hachamim do it. Now we're going to see three examples of this. Dibiru Hachamim lashon havai hadamran. We just said the rabbis when they said they gave the korban olah with a gold cup, or the ashes were such a big thing. Dibiru Torah lashon havai arim gedolot ubsurot b'shamayim. That's when they came to Eretz Yisrael. So there was towering buildings in the land that reached the heavens. That's a way of saying tall buildings. Dibiru nibi'im lashon havai vatibaka ares bekolam. So it says that when Shlomo HaMelech, when they inaugurated the Beit HaMikdash, so it says vatibaka ares, the ground was shaking from the sounds. The ground wasn't really a shame. It was like an earthquake or something like that. But they're just saying it was loud sound. I'm going to be Yitzhak. But I'm going to be Shmuel. B'shlosha mekomot dibiru hakamim leshon habay. Ve'eluhen. There's three times the Chachamim spoke in exaggerated terminology. Number one, the tapuah, which we just mentioned. Gefen, which we'll see. It's got to do with the vine. Uparochet. And the parochet. Tapuah. Koshel Zahav, the Gemara is going to discuss. The Gemara says, Tapuah had the Amaran. We told you already that Tapuah already. Tapuah is the ashes on the Mizbeah. Gefen Ditnan. Gefen Shel. This is not a real Gefen, it means an image. Gefen Shel Zahav by Ta'omid al Petrosh Shel Hechal. That means in the gate of the Hechal, there was like an image of a golden vine. Umudla al gabe klusnot, and it was hanging from a cedar piece of wood over there, like a vine. Vechol mishayamet nadev gergir o eshkol. Anybody that would make a donation, either a leaf or a gergir, a little grape or eshkol, a cluster to the Beit HaMikdash, mevi vetoleh ba. That was like, you donate. I want to donate a grape. Okay? I'm going to hang it on the item. To collect donations. It's Hayim. Amar bin Azab bin Bitzadok, Maaseh Aya, that there was so much gold on this thing here. Vinimnu Aleh Shlosh Meot Kuanim Nefanota. It was so heavy and laden with gold to 300 Kuanim in order to take the gold out of this gift. That's a Guzma. Which means, that's what they used to make donations. When you want to make a donation, you would donate a leaf, or donate a grape, or a cluster, but they would use it for operations. So eventually they would have to empty it out, and you keep on donating more. So it says, that one time they did 300 kuanim, now they never let it get to that weight, because it would be too heavy, but they're just saying that it was very, very, very laden with gold. That's the second one. Parochet ditnan, Rabban, or Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Hasegan, that's to be Hanina Segan Kuanim. Parochet Ovya Tefach. Okay, the parochet, what's the parochet? The parochet, its width, I guess, is going to be a tefach. Okay, its thickness is going to be a tefach. That's the curtain. Parochet that's separating between the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodashim. Ve'al shiv'im ushnaim nirim ne'reget. It was woven on a loom that had 72 looms, Okay? The al kol nima v'nima, and every thread of the parochet, eslim v'arba chotim, is made up of 24 strings that are woven together. Orka arba'im ba'ama, it's 40 amma, its height is 40 amma, v'rohba eslim ba'ama, its width is 40 amma, or 20 amma, u'mishimonim, u'shte ribo na'aset. It was made up of, that's a lot, shmonam me'ot ve'eslim elef, 820,000 strings or threads, u'shtaim osim kol shana, and they would make two of them a year. U'shlosh me'ot kohanim matbilim ota. When they needed to put it in the mikveh, I guess if it became teme'ah, it would take 300 kohanim. Because that part is the gusma. All the other dimensions, we know the dimensions. It's the Beit HaMikdash. It is what it is. But it was so heavy. Very good. That seems that the number that the rabbis use. Your question then is, what about the tapu? No, what about the
course?
So he says he owns a sad gusma. They did it. They did it. What's the difference? Big deal. They got gold cup. They gave it. That's not such a big idush. He gave it. But these things over here that have a 300 item, rabbis just spoke with it.